platform onto the tracks and start walking. Yes, walking, sorry. Anybody can walk, for example, from Madrid to Paris on the train tracks. It takes a long time. A long time. It requires effort and patience. But you can do it. Concerning English, walking on the tracks is the only alternative. If your parents didn't take you to the station for the AVE or the Talgo or for the old steam engine train. Yes, parents with your children, don't do them the disservice, el flaco favor, don't do them the disservice of not paying proper attention to their English when you have time and when it's easy, when they're young. Con el AVE, con el Talgo, o en última instancia, con ese rincante tren del siglo XIX, but before age 23. That's the secret.
Y Javier Fernández Aguado presentan la tercera edición del seminario Emprender y Liderar. Las claves del éxito. Sábado 17 de marzo en Áncora, Madrid, calle Trafalgar 6. Venta exclusiva online. Entra ahora en grupobaugan.com/seminario.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to the Drive Time Show, the Drive Time program. Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We've got a nice show today. We do have a nice program. We have lots to cover, lots to talk about. The return of our Drive Time top five list today. The top five list. We're going to look at the top five travel destinations for 2018. According to Lonely Planet, Lonely Planet travel guides, magazines, web-based guides, Lonely Planet. They've decided to give a list of the top five destinations you might want to consider. Countries, right? We're talking about different countries here to visit in 2018. If you're looking for ideas, vacation ideas, you might want to tune into this section. Also, on our history section, we'll look back at Alexander Graham Bell and the patent of the telephone, which took place on this day in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell and the telephone. And we'll also go and look at something I wanted to do yesterday, but I ran out of time. I'm talking about our music section, and we'll look at the Rolling Stones and their song Paint It Black. Paint it, comma, black. Yeah, we'll get around to that one today as we go back to our music section. It's in the music, and we'll have a look at that song from the album Aftermath, which came out in 1966, one of the classics of the Rolling Stones catalog. And plenty more to come. Plenty to talk about, everybody. Challenges, interactive sections, grammar, pronunciation, and so much more. So let's get things started. No time to lose. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller. All
right, everybody. A por ello. Let's go for it. Let's do it. We've got a Drive Time show ahead of us. Hopefully you're having a good day, a good afternoon. It's Wednesday, right? It's the middle of the week. Here we are. In the thick of things. There's an expression. In the thick of things. We're in the middle of it. And we'll begin, as always, by throwing out an interactive section for you to participate in. I'm talking about the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Yes. All right. All right. Okay, so the Twitter translation, I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish and you can tell me in English. All right, the translation. So if you want to write in, Tino, first of all, how can people find me on Twitter?
Tuiteanos, @IMKilemillar. O sea, I'm Kyle Miller.
O sea, I'm Kyle Miller. It's true. All right. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Oh, this is a good one. Y difícil hoy, Tino? It's tricky. It's a tricky one today. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Menos mal que te agachaste. Menos mal. Uf. Menos mal que te agachaste, Tino. Porque si no... How do you say that in English? A lot of people are writing in. A lot of people are writing in here. Thank goodness. Thank God. It's a great... Well, menos mal. ¿Cómo se dice? Menos mal. You remember this one, right, Tino? Menos mal. We have an interesting way of saying that in English. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, okay, in the second half hour of our Drive Time show. But for now, let's move on, right? Let's push forward, as we always do, and take a step into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Oh, here we are. Aquí estamos, eh? Aquí estamos. The warm-up gym. No ande... Number one. Okay, translate the following into English. Español al inglés, ¿vale? Number one. No andes tan deprisa. No andes tan deprisa. Porfa. Don't walk so fast. Don't walk so fast. Notice I'm not saying walk. 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 Don't walk so fast. Tan deprisa. So fast. So quickly. Don't walk so quickly also, right? Number two. Se tarda 10 minutos en cruzar el río. Se tarda 10 minutos. En cruzar el río. It takes 10 minutes to cross the river. El río. The river. It takes. Se tarda. It takes. It takes 10 minutes to cross the river. Number three. No íbamos deprisa cuando ocurrió. We weren't going fast when it happened. No íbamos deprisa. We weren't going fast. We weren't rushing. Ir deprisa también, to rush, right? To rush. We weren't rushing when it happened. We weren't going fast when it happened. Cuando ocurrió, when it happened. Habrá un examen mañana. Will there be an exam tomorrow? ¿Habrá un examen mañana? Will there be? ¿Habrá? Will there be an exam tomorrow? Number five. ¿Quién te dijo eso? Who told you that? Oye, Tino, ¿quién te dijo eso? Who told you that? Who told you? Not who said, but who told you. ¿Quién te dijo? Who told you that? Who told you that? Number six. He tenido problemas con él últimamente. I've had problems with him lately.
Ay, madre.
Yeah. I've had I've had problems with him lately. He tenido problemas con él últimamente. Lately. Notice how we're using the present perfect. Here's a tip. Every time we use lately, recently, últimamente, lately, recently, we are going to use the present perfect tense, right? Lately, I have been eating a lot of fish. Lately, I've been reviewing pronunciation. Lately, I have been. Present perfect. Lately, últimamente, right? We're talking about a period of time that's continuing. Lately. Number 7. Ya saben lo que ocurrió. Ya saben lo que ocurrió. They already know what happened.
Ya sabes.
Eso es. They already know what happened. They already know what happened. Esta semana ha sido muy agradable. Esta semana ha sido muy agradable. This week has been very pleasant. Yeah. Oh, this week has been very pleasant.
Things are cooking.
They are. They really are. Yeah, this week has been very pleasant. ¿Cuánta gente había en la tienda? How many people were there in the shop? ¿Cuánta gente había? How many people were there in the shop, en la tienda? How many people were there in the shop? Number 10, hay otra forma de hacerlo también. Claro, hay otra forma también. Otra manera de hacerlo. Hay otra forma. There's another way to do it too. También, too. T-O-O, too. No, there's another way to do it too. Hay otra forma de hacerlo también. There's another way. Otra manera, forma. There's another way to do it too. Let's do two more. How about that, Tino? I'm feeling generous today.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Okay. We'll do two more. So this is number 11. Bonus. Our first of our bonus sentences. Esto se está poniendo difícil. This is getting difficult. Esto se está poniendo difícil, eh? See, this is getting difficult. And the last one, okay, this is our bonus question. ¿Saldré con ellos si no llueve? I'll go out with them if it doesn't rain. Si no llueve, I'll go out with them. This is the first conditional, the future conditional, right? I will. I will, contracted I'll. I'll go out with them if it doesn't rain. Si no llueve. I will go out with them. I'll go out with them. Si no llueve. If it doesn't rain. If it doesn't rain. Okay. All right, everybody. Let's move forward. Hey, why don't we do a top five? We haven't done this for a while. Hace tiempo, right? I want to talk about travel destinations for 2008, according to Lonely Planet Guides. Some country destinations you might want to consider. And we'll pick five. How about today's Drive Time top five?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
Drive Time top five. All right, everybody, the Drive Time Top 5. Here we go. Travel destinations. Destinos, right? Destination. Not destiny. Destiny is like Star Wars. Luke, join me. It is your destiny. No, but your destination, un destino de un viaje is destination, right? Okay. Top five travel destinations, according to Lonely Planet, right? Travel guides, online, physical, hard copy, paperback, very useful if you want to travel to especially challenging countries. Number five, New Zealand. New Zealand, everybody. New Zealand is number five. 25 years ago, long before it was made to resemble, let's say, Middle Earth, well, New Zealand began actively attracting adventure seekers. People looking for trails, great walks, and to experience the country's topography. It took people to some of the world's most extraordinary wilderness on trips to New Zealand. And now, for the first time since the nine-track network was launched, there is a new, what they call the Great Walk, under construction. Very much worth visiting. So if you like the outdoors, very dramatic scenery, and very rugged nature. So New Zealand is number five. Djibouti. Djibouti, everybody. What? ¿Qué es eso? Djibouti. D-J-I-B-O-U-T-I. Djibouti. But the D, I think, is silent. I think it's a Djibouti. Now, this is a country in eastern Africa. This is a country northeast of Ethiopia. And it's a tiny little country. Well, it's a small country, let's say. I wouldn't say tiny, but it's small. It's a small country, a petite country, if you will. And it's sort of on the border of three tectonic plates. So there's magma underneath, a potential for a volcanic eruption, really. Martian-like deserts that spew out steam. So you have geysers and steam shooting out of the ground. It's quite impressive to see. In geological terms, it's an interesting specimen. But in human terms, it's like life in slow motion. A reason to make travel plans, not cancel them. A good place to go to slow down, to chill out, to relax. And they say the culture there is very interesting. Beaches and incredible diving as well, if you like to dive. So there are plenty more reasons to see nature at its best in Djibouti. Djibouti, D-J-I-B-O-U-T-I, in East Africa. Here we go, Portugal. So a lot of times people think, hey, you know, if you live in Spain, Portugal's just, it's so close, but I don't know, I'd rather see something else. But there's a lot to see in Portugal. Some interesting designed museums have opened in the last few years. And there's also a very interesting microbrewery scene. So if you like beer, there's a lot of interesting brews and also famous Portuguese chefs are causing a stir, right? Causing interest. Also, it's fairly affordable. It's not the most expensive place to visit, so it's reasonably affordable. In 2016, 300 beaches earned the prestigious award called the Blue Flag Rating for being an exceptional beach for tourists. So people are talking about this small nation as an interesting tourist destination. Portugal, number three. Number two, everybody, South Korea. South Korea. I'd like to go to South Korea. Check it out. It's kind of considered a playground. An Asian-style playground, but high-rises soar among the sky in what is really a very futuristic capital. Seoul, of course, being the capital of South Korea, which got a huge facelift. It went through significant improvements, including a skyline park with cafes, bars, and libraries, along an elevated highway. South Korea just hosted the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. And they have a new high-speed railway line, thanks to the Games. So now is the time. If you want to explore South Korea, everybody, now's the time. Right, Tino? South Korea, now's the time. Visit South Korea. This is the year. You got to do it. But the number one tourist destination, according to Lonely Planet, the number one tourist destination for you to consider, Chile. Chile, or as I used to call it, Chile. Yeah, but Chile. Chile, right. So it's a very thin country, of course, down the west coast of South America. The soaring Andes Mountains in the east, the Pacific Ocean in the west, the Atacama Desert in the north, which is a place I've visited, which is fantastic, by the way, bordering on Bolivia. And you have the salt flats there, a very interesting place. Goes all the way down to Patagonia in the south. So you have a great variety of things to see if you want to visit Chile. A variety of environments and ecosystems, lots to see, and also very accessible from places like London or even Melbourne. So it's an easy place to reach and a nice place for also an affordable. Once you're there, the pricing isn't bad. And it's a nice place. It's a very interesting place to check out. The number one destination, according to Lonely Planet, Chile, everybody. And that is today's Drive Time Top 5. There you go. So the top 5 tourist destinations. All right. Hey, why don't we move on? Let's push forward. Why don't we take a look at an expression? One of Tino's favorite parts of the show. How about that? The expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
Oh, yes, the expression of the day. Here's a good one. It's a good one. To take it with a grain of salt. Take that. Yeah, just take it with a grain of salt. So if you say to take something with a grain of salt, or sometimes a pinch, una pizca. In Spanish, you say una pizca de sal, right? Una pizca. But we say a grain, like un grano de sal. But we say to take it means to accept something. Say, okay, all right, I'll accept that, but with a certain degree of skepticism about the truth. So you'll say, okay, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to be open-minded and maybe a little bit critical. I'm going to be a little bit critical of what you're saying here. To take something with a grain of salt. Now, what's the origin of this? Well, the idea, it comes from the fact that food is more easily swallowed if it is taken with a little bit of salt sometimes, right? So it's not as bland. So it's like, it's just digest the information, take it in, accept it. But that doesn't mean you can't be a little bit critical of that information. All right? So that is our expression of the day. To take something with a grain, un grano de sal, you'd say in Spanish, but yes, in English, to take something with a grain of salt. Okay. Hey, why don't we push forward? How about a challenge? Everybody likes a good challenge. Let's go ahead with today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, you know how this challenge works. I'm going to give you the answer to a question. Yo la respuesta y tú en casa la pregunta, the question. So I'm going to give you the answer. You ask me the question out loud, of course, out loud, en voz alta. Okay? All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, oh, there we go. There we go. The crowd goes wild. Okay. Okay, there you go. Number one. Birds migrate in autumn. What do birds do in autumn? What do they do? Well, they migrate. Number two, he died of a heart attack. How did he die? ¿Cómo murió? How? How did he die? Number three. I'll be ready in 10 minutes. When will you be ready? Hey, when will you be ready? 10 minutes. Number four, I chose the red one. Which one did you choose? Which one did you choose? Number five, it was built in 1990. When was it built? When was it built? Number six, I did it yesterday. When did you do it? When did you do it? When did you do it? Okay, number seven, it would cost $12 if you paid in cash. How much would it cost if you paid in cash? How much? How much? Okay, number eight, our prices were cut by 5%. How much were prices cut? Well, they were cut by 5%. Number nine, we dealt with that issue in the last meeting. When did you deal with that issue? When did you deal with that issue? In the last meeting. Okay, number 10. Finally, the last one. It's been done twice this week. How many times has it been done this week? Very good. Well done. Well done. How many times? ¿Cuántas veces? Right? How many times? Well, it's been done twice. All right. Now, I know that's a tough challenge, but I encourage you to work with those every day, practicing. It's the best exercise I know for helping you develop with the interrogative form. And if you want to practice again, you can find the podcast at ebox.com, and you can work through that exercise again until you get it perfect. All right, we're going to take a short break. We have a real quick break, folks, but I'll be back in just a few minutes, including, when I come back, plenty to talk about, including the response to today's Twitter translation. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Menos mal que te agachaste. Ooh, a tricky one today. We'll talk about that and much more right after the break, so don't touch that dial.
Hola, Marty. Vengo del futuro y es horrible. No te imaginas lo que ha pasado. Tienes que saberlo.
¿Qué pasa, Doc? ¿Son mis hijos?
No, no es eso. Es que he estado en 2019 y todavía no te has puesto con el inglés. Sigues teniendo el mismo nivel bajo que tienes ahora.
Si sigues dejando lo del inglés para mañana, es posible que nunca llegues a mejorar. Ahora es el momento perfecto. Descubre el método Vaughan y cambia tu futuro. Mejorarás tu nivel de inglés gracias a unos profesores que te apoyan y te motivan. Grupos reducidos en los que estarás siempre utilizando el idioma. Deja de estudiar inglés y empieza a hablar inglés. Vence al mañana me pongo con Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com.
Hey, Abel, what are you reading?
Well, you know, I didn't know the meat temperatures in Spanish, and I think this is so important. Bien hecho, en su punto, and I really didn't know it in Spanish. Of course, in English, it's real easy. It's rare.
That's right.
Right, el más crudo es rare, que es también algo como un diamante, rare, que no ves mucho, ¿no? Rare. Then we have medium rare.
Yep.
That's how I like mine. How do you like yours?
I like mine rare.
Rare. So, you like it bloody.
I like it bloody.
No blood. Bloody. 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 Right. So medium rare. Then medium, which I think is like en su punto, right?
That's
medium
right.
is en su punto. Then for people who like it a little more well done, you have medium well. And then, lo que yo llamo el zapato, well done.
And then burnt.
And then burnt.
But nobody wants it burnt.
Hey, but, you know, it sounds like something so simple. Algo tan sencillo, but a lot of people don't know the different meat temperatures.
And how does the waiter ask you when he's coming to take your order?
They will usually say something like, how would you like it cooked? Or how would you like your meat cooked?
Or how would you like it done?
How would you like it done as well? Yeah. And that's where I would say medium rare. And you would say?
Rare.
All right. So, guys, practice these because there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and not getting the meat cooked the way you want it.
So where's the best place to practice this, Alberto?
I think you've got to go to a great steakhouse in New York. I could recommend a few. But you know what? If you want to find more information like this, you can go to Chapter 2 of my first book ever, English Everywhere, and where I take you to the restaurant and we look at all this useful vocabulary that you'll need to get by in a restaurant.
That's English Everywhere.
That's right.
Written by Alberto Alonso.
Inglés en cualquier parte y disponible en cualquier parte.
Absolutely.
Now let's practice with the structure by plus time. Usamos esta estructura para hablar de un momento en el futuro para el que habrá pasado algo. Por ejemplo, I'll have lost weight by next spring. Habré perdido peso para primavera. Notice that the tense we use is future with will have plus past participle. Let's practice. Alberto, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Now, haberlo acabado tú and this evening. ¿Cómo sería la frase en inglés?
I'll have finished it by this evening.
Excellent. Very good. Haberse te olvidado a ti plus next week.
I'll have forgotten it by next week.
Excellent. Ahora, ¿habrá crecido 3 centímetros tu pelo plus the summer?
My hair will have grown 3 centimeters by the summer.
Very good, Alberto. ¿Habrá mejorado mucho tu inglés plus next spring?
My English will have improved a lot by next spring.
Very well done.
Apúntate a nuestros cursos trimestrales. En solo 3 meses perfeccionarás tu inglés. Cursos trimestrales de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. Plenty more to cover, plenty to talk about. Nelson has a question. Nelson writes in with a question here and he says, good afternoon, Kyle. Sorry to trouble you with this question, but can you talk a little bit about the difference between safety and security? Safety and security. I would say safety is usually used for, and this is, I haven't Googled this. This is just my, as a native English speaker, what comes to mind. This is the reality. I consider safety to be personal, like preventing personal harm. Like you wear a seatbelt for safety, but you lock your car doors when you go, you know, when you leave your car on the street, you lock your doors for security, so that your items inside the car are secure. Or you lock your house for security. You lock your... That's a good question. Yeah, you lock your doors for security to prevent from robbery, for example. Something is secure. It means there's a smaller likelihood of robbery, for example. Whereas safety refers to danger and the prevention of danger and an attempt to prevent danger from occurring, right? So that sounds good. That sounds right, I think. Safety versus security. Good question from Nelson. Speaking of Twitter, we have lots of people writing in and participating in our Twitter translation. We'll get to that in a minute. In a minute, because I want to move on, and we have plenty more to talk about. If I can find my list today. Tino, I think I left it at home. That's unfortunate, but hey, life goes on. I had a list of adjectives I was going to talk about, and I'd rather wait until another day to do it when I have the list here. But let's push forward then. Let's go on without it. Let's take a look at history. How about that? Let's go back and see what happened on this day in 1876. Today in history.
Today in history.
Well, it was on this day in 1876, everybody, that Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone. Now, he patented the telephone on this day. Now, he was 29 years old, con 29 años. It's impressive, you know? Hey, guys, I got an idea. It's the phone. Do you think it'll work? Well, there was a bit more to it than that. It was a revolutionary new invention, of course. Scottish-born Alexander Graham Bell worked in London with his father, Melville Bell, who developed visible speech, which was a written system used to teach speaking to the deaf. And in the 1870s, the Bells moved to Boston, Massachusetts, where Alexander, the son, found work as a teacher at the Pemberton Avenue School for the Deaf. And he later married one of his students, Mabel Hubbard. While in Boston, Bell became very interested in the possibility of transmitting speech over wires. Samuel F.B. Morse, right? You'll recognize the name Morse as in Morse code. The invention of the telegraph, he had the invention of the telegraph back in 1843, and it had made nearly instantaneous communication possible between two distant points. Of course, the drawback, the punto débil, the weak point, the drawback of the telegraph was that it still required hand delivery of messages between telegraph stations. And only one message could be transmitted at a time. So you'd send a message, right? You'd send this message, and then it would be received, and it would be deciphered. But Bell wanted to improve on this by creating a harmonic telegraph, a device that combined aspects of the telegraph and a record player to allow individuals to speak to each other from a distance. With the help of Thomas Watson, a Boston machine shop employee, Bell developed a prototype. This was essentially the first telephone, where sound waves caused an electric current to vary in intensity and frequency, causing a thin, soft iron plate, a diaphragm. Sorry, he called the plate a diaphragm. No, a simple diagram. Yeah, that's, I'm just looking at this, a diaphragm, to vibrate. Now, these vibrations were transferred magnetically to another wire connected to a diaphragm and another distant instrument. So that place, that would vibrate. So you have one diaphragm vibrating. It's converted to electric pulse, goes through the wire, causes the diaphragm on the other side to vibrate. You know, reproducing the sound. Now, 3 days after filing the patent, the telephone carried its first intelligible message, the famous, "Mr. Watson, come here, I need you." From Bell to his assistant, the first phone call was made. Now, Bell's patent filing beat a similar claim by Elisha Gray by only 2 hours. Not wanting to be shut out of the telecommunications market, Western Telegram Company employed Gray and also Thomas Edison to develop their own telephone technology. Bell sued them, right? Demandar, to sue. He sued them. And the case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which upheld Bell's patent rights. So they said, look, this guy filed the patent a couple hours earlier than you. So he has the rights to this technology. So in the years to come, the Bell Company would deal with a lot of legal challenges and would emerge. It would come out as the massive American telephone and telegraph company, AT&T. To this day, a huge telephone company, right? AT&T, and formed the foundation of the modern telecommunications industry. There you go. So the bottom line, folks, what I'm saying is Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone on this day in 1876. So I'm not saying he invented it on this day, but he patented it, which from a business perspective kind of gives him claim to the invention in terms of being official, let's say. Okay. Hey, let's see what people are saying about the Twitter translation. We have a lot of people writing in. A lot of people participating. Menos mal que te agachaste. Menos mal. Vaya. Now, we have J.M. Hermosilla, who says, it's a good thing you bent down. Yeah. Raquel says, it's a good thing you ducked. Hey, that's a correct answer. Menos mal.
Es buena cosa, sí.
Es buena cosa. Se dice así. Yeah. Es buena cosa. It's a good thing. That's the way we say it in English. Menos mal. In Spanish, literally, you say less bad. But in English, we say it's a good thing. It's a good thing you ducked. It's a good thing you ducked. Manuel says it was a good thing you ducked. It was. Bueno, menos mal. I think it is. You know, it's a good thing you ducked, said Mr. Houses. It's a good thing you ducked, Manuel. Right? Maria Carmen. Hi, Kyle. Thank goodness you crouched. Well, to crouch. To crouch down. Yeah, crouch is similar to duck, but to duck is more like to avoid something. To crouch down is just to get low. But to duck down is like to avoid something. Like if someone throws something at me, I can duck down to hide behind the table. Carmen says it's a good thing you bent down. David says it's a good thing you ducked, but it was duck. D-U-C-K, como un pato. Like a duck, right? It's a good thing you ducked. Maria Pilar, thank goodness you crouched. But yeah, I like ducked. To duck. It's a good thing you bent down, said Eduardo. But yeah, I like it's a good thing you ducked. Let's try that one. Just as well you ducked. Just as well. But it's a good thing is much stronger than it's just as well. I like it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Oh, it's a good thing you came. It's a good thing you're here. It's a good thing. They came to help us. Menos mal, it's a good thing. Okay. Yesterday we talked about... Well, yesterday in history was 1966 when the Rolling Stones started recording for their 10th UK single, Paint It Black, at RCA Studios in Hollywood. And it kind of leads me to want to talk about this song, a classic song that I like a lot. You know this song, Tino, right? It's a classic. It's a classic. Let's take a look at this song and the album in a section we call It's in the Music.
It's in the Music.
We're rocking and rolling. All right, everybody. Ooh, Aftermath was the album. It was 1966, and this album would go to number one in the UK and also number one in the United States. It was the 10th album from the Rolling Stones, Aftermath, and this song would be a hit. The song would go to number one in both the UK and in the U.S. as well. And the song is written from the viewpoint, from the punto de vista, the point of view of a person who's depressed, who wants everything to turn black to match his mood. Now, there was no specific inspiration for the lyrics, they say. When asked about, was it a song about death? And Mick Jagger said, I don't know. It's been done before. It's not an original thought by any means. It all depends on how you do it, he says. Now, the Rolling Stones originally planned for this song to be much slower, more of a conventional song. And they were in the recording studio when Bill Wyman, bass player for the Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman started playing on the organ. And he started experimenting with the sound a little bit. And he started playing a sound kind of like what he imagined would be the music of at a Jewish wedding, is what he said. And Charlie Watts, right, Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts, joined in on an improvised double-time drum pattern echoing the rhythm in some Middle Eastern dances. And it created this more upbeat rhythm. And they liked it. And they said, hey, we're on to something. Let's record it like this. Keith Richards says, we were in Fiji for about 3 days. He says they make sitars and all sorts of Indian stuff. Sitars made out of watermelons or pumpkins or something, you know, that they find. He says you have to be careful how you handle them. So we had these sitars and we thought we'd try them out in the studio. So to get the right sound on Paint It Black, we found that a sitar was a perfect fit. There you go. And if you listen to the song, you'll recognize that sort of twangy. It's like a, sounds a bit like a guitar, but you know, the Beatles were using them as well, sitars. There you go. There it is. The sitar. Yeah, it has that Indian sound, right? But the Rolling Stones were using it. The Beatles around that same time were using it as well. And on the single, yeah, as I mentioned yesterday, it's interesting. On the single, there was a comma before the word black in the title. Paint It Black. And this sort of implies that a person named Black would be hard to paint. But some fans said, well, there's some sort of racial comment here, but they said it was just no real reason at all. It just turned out that way. They were going to call the song Paint It Black, and then someone added the comma before the discs went to print, and that was about it. There was no real reason. Now, the former Rolling Stones manager, a guy named Alan Klein, owned the publishing rights to the song, and in 1965, the Rolling Stones hired him and signed him to a deal that they would later regret. He controlled their money, and the Stones signed over all the publishing rights to the songs they wrote up to 1969. So every time this is used in a commercial or a TV show, his estate, now he's dead, but his estate gets the money for the song. So there you go. Now, Rolling Stones co-guitarist as well, Ron Wood, great guitarist. I was watching some videos of him today. He's a fantastic guitarist, Ronnie Wood. Right, in the sort of 60s, 70s style. And he's considered the new guy, even though he came in the 70s. Right? He said that Keith Richards has trouble remembering how to play this song. He says, we always have this moment of hesitation where we don't know if Keith's going to get the intro right or not. And Keith Richards said, hey, what made Paint It Black was Bill Wyman on the organ. Because it didn't sound anything like the finished record until Bill played. Now, let's take a look at the lyrics, la letra. The lyrics to this song. It goes like this. I see a red door and I want it painted black. So apparently we're talking about, we're commenting about, a bit about depression, and he's being negative and everything is, he says, I want it black because I'm sort of sad. That's the way I see things. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars and they're all painted black, with flowers and my love, both never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away, like a newborn baby, it just happens every day. I look inside myself and see my heart is black. I see my red door, and I must have it painted black. Maybe then I'll fade away and not have to face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black. So the expression to face up to, is like to accept reality, to face up. It's not easy facing up when your whole world is black, when you're full of negativity, I suppose. No more will my green sea go turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. If I look hard enough into the setting sun, my love will laugh with me before the morning comes. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by, dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until the darkness goes. I want to see your face painted black, black as night, black as coal. I don't want to see the sun flying high in the sky. I want to see it painted, 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 painted black. Yeah. There you go. So he's being very negative, and he's kind of saying, maybe, I guess he's saying he's depressed, he's sad, and he sees everything black, but he wants them. It's kind of, you know, sometimes when you're sad, you want to hear sad things. Like blues music, you know? You're in a bad mood, you're in a sad mood, you hear something sad, maybe it makes you feel better. So he wants everything black, and I guess black is, you know, symbolizing this this sadness or negativity. And a classic song. The Rolling Stones, right? The Stones, 1966, painted black. It went to number one, like I said, in the UK and in the United States. An interesting one. Okay. All right, let's push forward a little bit, everybody. Why don't we go ahead? We've actually covered a lot in this show today, haven't we, Tino? Hemos visto bastante. We've seen a lot of content. Let's go ahead and take a look at our paragraph of the day.
Paragraph of the day.
Our paragraph of the day, everybody. Paragraph of the day. I'm going to read a paragraph and then we'll talk about it. We'll look at it. We'll analyze it. Poco a poco, little by little. Don't bother me with these things anymore. If you can't handle little problems like these, what are you going to do when big problems come along? I hired you to free me up to do more important things for the business. In other words, I hired you to solve the little problems and leave the big ones to me. If I end up bringing every other little problem back to me, then I don't have much use for you, do I? That's the paragraph. Don't bother me with these things anymore. No me molestes más con estas cosas. Don't bother me with these things anymore. Don't bother me with these things. Si no te puedes encargar de los pequeños problemas como estos, ¿qué vas a hacer cuando lleguen problemas grandes? Si no puedes encargar de los pequeños problemas, if you can't handle the little problems like these, then what are you going to do when the big problems come along? What are you going to do when the big problems come along? What are you going to do? And then he says, I hired you. Te contraté. I hired you to free up. or to free me up to do more important things. Right? I hired you to free me up. Te contraté para permitirme hacer cosas más importantes para el negocio. To do more important things for the business. In other words, en otras palabras, in other words, I hired you to solve the little problems and leave the big ones to me. Te contraté para resolver los pequeños problemas y dejarme a mí los grandes. ¿No? Right? Leave the little ones to me. If you end up bringing every other little problem back to me, then I don't have much use for you, do I? Yeah. Si terminas trayéndome cada pequeño problema, entonces no me sirves mucho, ¿verdad? Right? Sometimes you have a person in a workplace that, yeah, ends up just being so uncertain and doesn't take enough initiative that they require other people to help them get their job done, and it doesn't end up being a net benefit or significant enough net benefit that the person is worth having in the office. So it's kind of a tricky challenge and an interesting paragraph, I think, an interesting one. That was today's paragraph of the day. All right. We only have a minute left, everybody. Today we've seen our Twitter translation. We've already looked at that. Menos mal. It's a good thing. It's a good thing you ducked. Menos mal que agachaste. You can say, it's a good thing you ducked. Yeah. Our expression today was to take something with a grain of salt. Right? Which means to accept something while maintaining a certain degree of skepticism about it. Being a little bit skeptical, but saying, all right, okay, but still being critical or skeptical of it. And anyway, we're out of time. I do have to finish there, but I'm going to come back in a couple minutes with the Inglés Online TVE course, right? Class number 30. What is it today, Tino? 43, excuse me, 43. 43, everybody. And you can tune in. You can enjoy the show on YouTube. Inglés Online TVE is the channel on YouTube. You can watch it live, participate, chat, get involved, ask questions. I'll be there in a couple minutes. I hope you'll join me. All right, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, take it easy now. Look after yourself.
¿Cualidades necesarias para el emprendimiento? ¿Consideras que estás liderando a tu equipo? ¿A tu empresa? Si tu objetivo es poner en marcha un proyecto y alcanzar el éxito como líder de equipos, Richard Vaughan y Javier Fernández Aguado presentan la tercera edición del seminario Emprender y Liderar. Las claves del éxito. Directivos, emprendedores, líderes de equipos, personas interesadas en el liderazgo. Esta es vuestra oportunidad. Sábado 17 de marzo, en Áncora, Madrid, calle Trafalgar 6, venta exclusiva online. Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/seminario.
Are you a Vaughan Radio listener? But maybe you've never had the full Vaughan classroom experience. If you're interested in trying the Vaughan classroom experience, I would recommend an intensive course. We have 3-month intensive courses in groups, of course, at Vaughan, and you can find out all the information about these courses with pricing, times, and more by calling 91-133-5833. You can also get more information at grupovaughan.com, grupovaughan.com. Yes, and you can build groups with your friends. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your neighbor, bring whoever you want.